I think there is definitely that mindset that I'm just going to overwhelm you with a bunch of data, and I know through shotgun approach that I'm going to hit on something that is going to resonate with you. And I think that's a mistake. I think that it really has to be refined down. A lot of the decks that we do are 10 to 12 slides because they're very concise, and especially the investors are looking for very specific things, but it's all in how you deliver it and how that story is put together.
You are listening to Hooked on Startups, where every week you'll hear from some of the most talented, inspiring, and successful entrepreneurs who share their real life stories, how they overcame challenges and failures, and how they mastered success. Get ready for some of the best business tips, tricks and tactics, and some frank, unscripted discussions. Here's your host, Matthew Sullivan.
Today on Hooked on Startups, I am delighted to have none other than Glenn and Kristen Hermanis on the show. So guys, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Now, let me tell everyone a tiny bit about what you guys do. So the best way of describing it, I think, is have you ever been to a presentation where the person who's presenting has got these really cool, slick graphics, and you think, that's just brilliant, and you end up with a severe case of jealousy and envy because his presentation is way cooler than anything you've ever seen, and you just sort of slink out thinking, there's no way I'm ever going to get anything like that. Well, these two guys make those presentations. Is that a fair summary of what you do?
I think that's great. Yes. we talk about deck envy quite often.
Deck is such a terrible word. I mean, deck is so sort of, you know, do you have the presentation deck? You know, it's not.
The stuff you
do is like, you know, people actually want to queue up to see this sort of stuff.
Well, we try to, we think about it in terms of visual storytelling. It's really about understanding what the client's purpose is, their objective, who their audience is, and how to connect the two. I think that especially nowadays, we're so inundated with visuals and visuals that are very high end. Companies spend millions of dollars on creating these, and we're exposed to that all the time. And there's a lot of work that goes into it. There's a lot of studies, a lot of analytics, a lot of data. And so when people go in and watch someone present, we're all coming from that perspective of seeing that type of high-end design, whether we're consciously aware of it or not. Our job is to actually help those businesses bridge that gap between the audience's expectations and what they're able to deliver within a certain realistic budget. They're obviously not going to be able to spend millions of dollars. So what we try to do is put 25 plus years of design experience into those visuals that give them that advantage, and hopefully help to inspire their audience to take whatever action it is that they need.
And I've seen your stuff, and it looks like it's $1 million, but I want to concentrate on one of the words you mentioned earlier just now, which is about the presentation, because presentation is such a, like, it's a dull word. When you hear someone, I'm going to give you a presentation, you just think, oh, this is going to be it's death by PowerPoint.
Yeah.
But what you're about is not just listening to people and saying, okay, thank you, I'll rework your presentation deck. You're much more about actually listening. You had a great quote, which is, I'll paraphrase, which is, you can't read the label of your bottle if you're inside the jar. Is it something like that? So
that's Simon Manwaring. So he gets credit for that. That was, he said that. And yeah, it's something that I've repeated often, and I always try to always make sure I give him credit for that. That wasn't my quote. But yeah, it's an excellent way of phrasing that. And it's something that we're aware of too. We hire people to help us when it comes to our own messaging and our own branding. And we talked earlier about the presentation that I'll be giving next month. We've enlisted probably half a dozen people getting their feedback for what we're creating. So yeah, it's really hard to see outside when you're inside that jar to be able to read the label.
So what I mean by that is when you're working with people that where you're trying to build their presentation, do you find that you end up saying, look, just start from the beginning, what do you do? And do you find that people can't articulate what they really do. Is that the major thing that you, major challenge you find with people, is they don't really know what their business is? Have they lost sight of that sometimes?
It can be. I wouldn't say it's always the issue, but there is, you know, some things get lost in translation. They may think that they're expressing an idea that maybe their audience may not necessarily, it may not necessarily resonate with them, or they may be aware that they have a message, they just don't know how to express it and how to make it or resonate with the audience.
And Glenn has an amazing ability to listen to the client and kind of get their essence and bring that out in the presentation. So not only communicate their message, but also keep their personality encompassed in the presentation, so that it's not just about the message, but it's the whole package.
Yeah, you're right, because I went to the Tech in LA conference yesterday. So I can't remember how many people there, but there were several, probably over 100 booths with every single niche piece of tech business you can think of. I mean, there are so many niches there I never imagined would exist.
Yeah.
But most of those people really just couldn't seem to get across in a compelling way what they did. There's only a handful that really understood how to communicate. So it's part of your job as well to say to people, you understand your tech business. I'm a communicator. Let's talk about storytelling. How important is storytelling in the work that you do?
Oh, it's everything. Yeah, the first question that we ask is, what is the purpose of the presentation and what are the messages that you want to convey and who's your audience? And those are the three main parts to it. And then how that idea and that message is interwoven is all through the storytelling, all through how it's told.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose, I mean, because you guys have got experience in this, you know, you guys have worked for some big names. I mean, Apple, Sun Microsystems, Scorpion Computers, Fox Studios, Cartel Pictures. So you've seen some top level presentations and ways of communicating. So you're leveraging, I guess, all that experience of people that have spent millions of dollars understanding how to communicate. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the great things that you do as well. So I want to talk about Facebook briefly, because Facebook is a great example of how it seems such a challenge to try and get someone not to scroll past. And it doesn't matter how many millions of dollars you throw at these images. It's about storytelling. It's about conversation. That's something that you mentioned before. So let's talk about conversation. That's right. There's silence. I have such great questions here.
Well, I mean, I can speak to, you know, I think that like you know, Facebook and other social media platforms, and even the operating systems on our phones are all moving towards, and they've been for many years, very object-oriented, very visually-oriented. So being able to convey that in a way that is concise and accurate is really key. And that goes to developing, you know, the user interface, to doing the presentation decks. We also use Facebook a lot for keeping our friends and our clients, which tend to be the same, informed of what we're doing on a more daily to weekly basis. Because we're a creative agency, we touch on a lot of different projects. So sometimes we'll be doing something that's more editing driven, more visual, more like video. As other times we'll be creating like logo design. It's not always presentation decks, but it tends to always kind of go back to that, because all those elements that we create all go.
One of my big things about Facebook really is that the challenge is, which is probably the same challenge that you have, is how do you engage people? So that's when I was talking about Facebook there, it's really about how conversation is so important, which is so critical with the way that you put your decks together, because you're teaching people it's not about throwing graphics up. It's not about having, you know, tons and tons of information. It's about how you connect with people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we don't really have a real formal way of leveraging social media. We haven't got I think, too heavily into that.
What I mean is, do you find in your audience, as it were, the critical thing? It's like a micro version of Facebook, where you lose your audience really quickly if you're talking about ROIs and and turnover and profitability, and we're going to be the Uber of Airbnb. Do you find that the important thing when you're putting the decks together is to really try and help your clients get under the skin of what their message is, and are those the presentations that really work?
Yeah. I think we have the advantage of really not, like, we don't know the, what our clients obviously know their business better than we do. And so that's a big advantage for us, because I feel like if I'm able to understand it, then I know the audience is able to understand it, because I'm coming from that outside perspective, because, mm-hmm. It kind of goes back to the reading the label outside the jar. Having that perspective helps a lot. And actually, Kristen's great at seeing it even further back.
I'm Jane user. Sometimes he has more concepts that he's more familiar with and excited about, and I tend to be a little bit more further back from that. So I can step back further and say, I get it or I don't get it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you have a nice analogy. It's like, you have to be able to explain it on a cocktail napkin. If you can't do that, then it's too complex.
And these cocktail napkins are not six. Right. You can't cheat,
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to be real simplified down.
So tell me some horror stories that you've seen, and please mention names. No, I'm kidding. No. I mean, just really to try and put things into perspective, where someone's going to say, because you know what it's like. Look, I built this company up from scratch. I know what I'm doing here. I'm going to be the next unicorn. I don't need you guys, because my 200 slide presentation tells people everything they could ever possibly need to know. And it may take me a couple of hours to go through it, but I'm going to speak really fast. And at the end of it, I'm just going to get my, $1 million seed capital. So
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think there is definitely that mindset that I'm just going to overwhelm you with a bunch of data. And I know through shotgun approach that I'm going to hit on something that is going to resonate with you. And I think that's a mistake. I think that it really has to be refined down. A lot of the decks that we do are 10 to 12 slides, because they're very concise, and especially the investors are looking for very specific things, but it's all in how you deliver it and how that story is put together. There's a lot of people that think that, we had an hour conversation with a potential client that at the end, she literally said, it's just slides. And I think that, that speaks to a lot.
Presumably she's still looking for money right now.
As far as I know, I don't know. But I think that the decks, the presentation are so much more than that. And I think what happens is that this happened in the last, since the 80s, where technology is so accessible and a lot of people have the tools to be creative, but it's not necessarily their expertise. Mm-hmm. I strongly believe in working towards our expertise. There's things that we don't try to take on. And I think that when it comes to putting a presentation together, just because you have PowerPoint or Keynote doesn't mean that you're the expert at putting that together in a way that's going to resonate with your audience.
Yeah.
A professionally designed DEX is your insurance policy. It's going to give you the unfair advantage over other people.
He's got 25 plus years of experience in design, so he's putting that experience into the PowerPoint slides. So it's not like they're not just slides.
No, you're right. I mean, that is the main point. Because if you're trying to compress your business story into 10 or 12 slides, it's, your message has got to be pretty concise as well. So do you find yourself kind of teaching people how to present ultimately? Because, one thing leads to another.
Yeah, I mean, we do address that. There's three basic parts to the project. The first is establishing the message, the story, the order, and getting an outline. And we'll actually work with other people. John Livesay is someone that we've been working with. I think you know him. Great guy. He is quick, and he gets down the wording really well. He can like, I've seen it several times where someone has explained to their business and he goes, oh, it's like this, this, and this. I'm like,
feels emotionally. It's great. Emotionally on a verbal level.
And then the second part is the visual articulation of that. And so that's where we are, our specialty really is in that sweet spot. Mm-hmm. And then the last part is we review the presentation with the client, go through the each individual slide, make sure that they understand the transitions, where the clicks are, and so they it feels comfortable to them and it fits their style of speaking. So
do you find that there's this almost sort of this road to Damascus experience that people have when they're working with you, where they come in with the set of preconceived ideas? Well, you know, that the guy is just going to make my slides look a bit prettier, and they come out thinking, you know, this guy's a genius, or you, both of you.
Yes, he's humble, but he's been called creative genius, not by.
Well, I think I picked up creative ninja, which is a fantastic expression.
Oh, I like that.
Sort of like
slicing through the bad design.
I would have to say that a lot of people, we've gotten feedback from a few of our clients, and it's basically that his presentation decks wow the audience.
Yes, Glenn, you be quiet for a minute. So, Kristen, tell me exactly what these clients are saying, because, again, I'm sorry if I keep banging on about this, but it's so easy for people just to say, you know, this is just a graphic design thing. You're making my slides prettier. I can probably go to Shutterstock and download a few images and, you know, but it's not that. It's
not.
This whole ability to create living, breathing art effectively,
right.
Which is what
exactly.
You're doing.
And understand it, like I said earlier, understanding the personality of the client and bringing that into the presentation, and then presenting something that is, in words of Richard Banks, who's one of our clients, transcendental and magical.
Yes.
I love those words.
I know what you mean. And it is that moment where, you know, you get that cold wind brushing across your temples when you think, this is really good. Those are the great moments, I guess, when you're sitting next to your clients and you begin to sort of create form from what you're talking about, and you see that sort of moment of wow that mm-hmm.
It's a huge confidence builder or booster for people when they present and they know they have a professionally designed presentation to back them up. The mindset is also people think that the slides are going to overpower them or that it's going to take attention away from them. There's a lot of different concerns. So we design decks differently for different people, different mm-hmm. types of presenters, and what the whole reason is for them presenting.
And do you find less is more? Do you come across people that they'll put hundreds and hundreds of words on the slide and then just read that out to people?
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a huge dose.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to pull attention away from you as a speaker. Mm-hmm. If you do, there's a way to you reference the slide, you read something, and then you focus the attention back on you, and you develop that rhythm, that pattern that people, the audience will kind of sync with. But if you have too much on the slide or too much going on, or as soon as you start putting words up there, we're all automatically programmed to start reading. Mm-hmm. And then you've kind of lost that cadence. You lost that rhythm with the audience.
And that's really important to get across, is that, you know, less is more. And there's a lot of information that you may want to get across, but you had a tip about putting that in the speaker's notes, I think. Is that, mm-hmm. you know, one of your great pieces of advice is that, tell me more about how you would articulate. If I say to you, look, I've got tons of stuff I really need to get across here.
Right.
How would you suggest I do that?
Yeah, I think that finding the kernel of that idea is most essential, because you want to make sure that everybody is on the same page as you. So if it's really complex, you can break it up into multiple slides, which is better than trying to fit everything in, or you build it up in animation. I did a slide for Girl Holdings, one of your favorites. Mm-hmm. They're literally developing town in the middle of California, and there was a slide that had they wanted to cover everything that they were doing, and that was like literally from the ground up. And so I designed Monopoly cards
Fantastic. Yes.
Yeah, it was fun. People got it and it built up. So they didn't all show up at the same time. And so, so pacing is a really important way to get that information across, especially when you're dealing with something really complex. But less is always more. And if there is a lot of copy that is taken out, I do put it in the notes so that the presenter does have that as backup.
I mean, is it almost analogous to having an advert? Because, you know, if you watch a really good advertisement, it takes 20, 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. But you're wowed. Your concentration, you're there, you're captivated. Is it that same sort of experience that you're building for your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. The presentation has to really hit the ground running in one way or another. It getting your audience engaged in the beginning is critical. And that can be done in a lot of different ways. But I think that the presentations always have to deliver more than what people are expecting.
Because it's almost, I mean, we've heard this term before, this concept of a narrative arc, mm-hmm. where, you know, with a movie, you have the beginning and you sort of set the scene and then you have, you know, all the action and then there's the sort of the payoff, as it were. So you're kind of using all of your skills from video and movies and TV and bringing that to your clients.
Yeah, I was one of many presentations that I was working on for the one I'm going to be giving next month, because I think I'm on the fifth iteration. One was the story arc of Joseph Campbell's The Hero's Journey. And so I had 10 slides, which I edited. These was supposed to be 12, but I needed to do 10. And they were insanely complex, but it did address that whole story arc. So, you know, the hero and the message and rejecting what that message or that challenge is, and then facing the demons and all those things. So, those are important elements to try to weave in through whatever the presentation's about, even if it's for some new app. There's always a story there, and the story is what makes it powerful.
Because it's just about communication, because it doesn't matter how good your product or service is. If you can't talk to people about this, and just going back to this tech day, the thing I came out yesterday is these people, you got 100 clients there, you know, every potential clients, every single one of those people just cannot talk in an engaging way. They throw out the benefits of what they do, or the features, or it has this, or it has that, or it's, you know, gigaflops or mega whatnots. But, you know, I'm going, well, I don't get it. You know, so even now with all this technology and with communication services, that ability to just get across what I do and why it's good for you is, you know, something. You guys are going to be in business forever, because
so
let's talk about brand. I mean, but branding is another great piece of what you do, this, because you've got the visual identity, you've got the story, the communication, and what is the brand? Is that the living, breathing manifestation of all of those elements?
Oh, absolutely. It's essential. Brand has to be in there, to be represented in terms of the message, in terms of the visuals. I would say, you know, we just finished designing the presentation deck, the master slide deck for Mark Goldston, who's going to Russia next month.
Yep.
And he's probably the most recent example of where the most important thing was for him to have a consistent look and to incorporate his brand. Branding incorporation is essential because when you're delivering a presentation, you're showing your brand, you're showing your message. It's a huge opportunity that shouldn't be wasted when everything else you spent on, say you're an author and you do a book and you've got all different types of messaging and promotional items out there. And I won't use any names, but we saw one yesterday. Excellent branding and excellent messaging, great guy, but it wasn't carried through in the presentation. Mm-hmm. And I think that was an opportunity lost there. And so, yes. That is something that absolutely is taken into consideration.
And is it almost, you do things sort of backwards, as it were. So you are given this presentation, which is, you know, could you just tune it up a bit? And do you then end up almost reverse engineering, in many cases, how people present themselves. Is that, which must be great for your clients?
Yeah, I think, we've been given decks that people ask us to make look pretty, to make look better. My first approach is really understanding their brand, their look. I'll do full research on them online. I'll look at their social footprint. I'll do screenshots of Google images and what comes up. Bring all those elements together, do color analysis, figure out what is the hierarchy of the colors, the design, font, use all those things are all incorporated. And that's like really kind of that reverse engineering of taking those elements, especially if they don't have anything. Some clients do come with style guides, which is great. Most of them don't. So we end up creating that sort of for them, creating a really solidifying a brand that is probably not, in a lot of cases, not really fully developed.
And again, just something as simple as a font. I mean, the amount of impact that a change in font can have, the change in just the way that the letters, I mean, it's such a science that I think most people just assume that that's the last thing we need to do is now we've built this thing and we're going to sell it. You know, has anyone done a presentation? Let's put one together. We'll use Times New Roman. And I guess, I mean, I'm sort of being, you know, I'm sort of being half, you know, half serious, but people do. And just the amount of design that goes into a font and how a font can capture your imagination just because.
Yeah. I mean, fonts are really, I think for the most part, it's a very subconscious thing. I think the best example is when you look at title graphics at the beginning of the movies or at the end. They're very specific. They have there's a weight to them. There is something that's either modern and clean or something that's antique or, you know, there's a whole variety. So using fonts and again, this goes back to the audience perception of what they're seeing is they're going to base it off of what they've seen throughout the rest of their day and their world. And again, we're inundated with a lot of high end professional design that, they have that advantage, so when the audience is looking at your presentation, they're going to compare to what they've seen, even if it's a subconscious thing. And so fonts and color, color psychology, all those things play into it. And that is like, I think, something that's really overlooked. Again, it goes back to that missed opportunity.
Well, and again, because I believe that most people, in my experience, I mean, and I'm very guilty of this, you are wedded to, you know, the Microsoft products. You just think that that's it. But I have no concept of what color psychology is. I have no concept that if someone puts a $250 million picture production together, they probably spent, you know, a good percentage of that making sure that the titles, you know, there must have been hundreds of thousands of dollars of research that's gone into making sure that those are the right titles in the right space, the right colors. And you miss out on that if you try and do it yourself.
Yeah, there is a lot of data nowadays, especially being able to articulate that and understand what your audience, what's going to resonate with them, what's your brand, and what's your message. And all three of those things are taken into consideration when it comes to just something as seem as basic as selecting a font.
And also, in terms of maintaining someone's their concentration, one of the interesting things I heard you speak about recently was the TEDx talks, how each one of those talks is timed at 18 minutes. And I'm not sure how many people know this, but because I think that's the maximum amount of time that you can really keep someone's concentration before they start wandering off and thinking about what they're having for lunch.
Yeah. And that's, that speaks to making sure that you have a really concise, message, and, story arc is a huge part of that. A lot of psychology goes into it. We found Crystal Nose extremely helpful when it comes to not only engaging with our clients on like an email, but just in putting those elements in when it comes to understanding that our client's selection of what colors and look and feel and tonality they prefer. So we do incorporate a fair amount of psychology into it.
Crystal Nose, which is, that is a great tool that I came across, you know, quite recently. So
it's fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. Ken Rakowski too, to credit for that one, amongst many things.
Yeah, exactly. The long list of credits at the end of this podcast. But Crystal Nose is brilliant because it's scary. I haven't been on it because I don't really want to read it because I'm a little bit worried about what it says. But you almost get this deep psychological profile on your potential, client.
Yeah, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's a great product. Mm-hmm.
Interesting though, most of the people that are entrepreneurs are influencers.
Which I suppose even though they don't know it, so I suppose and that's really just based on the information, the big data that's available out there right now. So
their email, their LinkedIn, yeah. It's a little scary, but yeah.
you're sort of tapping into that. And do you find that when you start this journey with people, your clients end up being clients for life because you, not only have you helped them with the most difficult piece, which is their initial presentation, but then once you get involved with the branding and the messaging and the storytelling and the positioning, does it just sort of grow and grow your relationship with them?
Oh, absolutely. We're a relationship-based creative agency. We want clients that we can develop a relationship with, that we have like values, that are interested in giving back and helping, make the world a better place. I mean, that's like mm-hmm. our top level, vision part. And we always come with the intent with every project to make that the beginning of many projects. So our focus is on developing presentation decks, but that's not the only thing that we do. Like I said, we do a lot of videos. We do we develop style guides and branding and logos and brochures and all that other stuff.
We found that it's been best to niche down to presentation decks.
No, you're right. You need to. It's that whole thing when people say, "Well, what are you working on?" If you tell them everything you do, then
they're like,
"Right, that's right."
Which is all about the story, which is, it's that thing where you want people to say, that's really interesting, tell me more. So it's, you're doing what you preach, which is brilliant.
Yeah. And it's been a very challenging journey to do. Again, I have Ken Rakowski to thank for that, for helping focus in on what we deliver. It was actually not the very first job, but one of the, when I graduated from college, the first job I had was with a semiconductor company. I worked with 10 years. And the first thing I was doing was I was hired to work with the president to develop slides.
Wow.
And back then, those were 35 millimeter.
Real slides, yeah.
Real slides, yeah. Much has changed since then. But so it's something that I've done career-wise for my entire career. And it summarizes everything. It takes into consideration all of the design elements, all the messaging, all the branding and everything. And with the added part of it, something that's being delivered in a very personal way to people, which is a nice way to like package that whole thing.
And I think is it true the most fun you have in your job is when you unveil the presentation? So you've been working on this and the client comes in and, do you go through it sort of slow? You don't just send it to them, presumably. You say, well, this is it. And just watching them go, wow. And feeling they have something that they're really proud of must be really fulfilling.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's a great feeling. I think that the only thing better than that is when they come back and say how well it was received and how effective it was with the audience. Because obviously we want our clients to be happy with what we mm-hmm. do. What I think is more important is that, was it effective? Did it work? Did it satisfy what their objectives were? Did it exceed those expectations?
Mm-hmm. You don't get to be there to see them present.
Not always, and see
the audience reaction. So that's the best.
Yeah. Do you sort of sneak in the back with a trench coat and a hat? And
don't really need to sneak in. We did one for Christine Perakis. She does the Professional Navigator. I've got her book.
The Entrepreneur's Essential Roadmap.
Yes, thank you. And when she first presented it, I went with her and I recorded it. I did a Facebook Live feed and I got to watch people's reactions. So that was nice because we don't always get to see that. So.
That's fabulous. It's almost like creating some art or something and just let and then did you find it difficult to hand some of this stuff over? Do you think this is so good, actually I'm going to keep it?
No. I mean, it's Yeah, it's all theirs to be used and reused. And the great thing about presentation decks is it's something that can be reused multiple times. Probably too much. Like some, I think they need to be updated. I've seen decks used over and over and over, or they've added certain things of their own with
I know with some of the stuff that you do that I would carry it with me everywhere, and you know, I would introduce myself. My name's Matthew. Let me show you my deck. So a deck, that is, by the way. So let me show you my presentation deck, which I might have to cut this bit out actually, but that's good. Well, listen, I don't know how we're going to do the next bit, because at the end of the interviews, I like to ask my 10 questions, which I borrowed from James Lipton from the Actors Studio. So James, thank you for that. So I, you know, if I ask them, you got to decide amongst yourselves who and how you answer them. So my first question is, what is your favorite word?
We can answer at the same time.
Yeah, because we have the same question.
The same answer.
Yeah.
Well, we're doing stereo. So if you're speaking to the left speaker, you're speaking to the right. So your favorite word is?
Yes.
Ah, very good. And what is your least favorite word?
Mine's
can't.
Is it also?
Yeah.
Can't. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Can't. Like, I can't afford this.
You don't have to agree, by the way. You can come up with your own.
Yeah, no, we have different lists.
You sort of nudge each other. So what are you most excited about right now?
For me, it's the, I think the traction that we're getting. Kristen coming on board full time at the beginning of this year has been just a blessing. We're together all the time. We love hanging out with each other, and it's great. We had a pretty good idea that we would work pretty well together. We've owned the business jointly for the last
8 years.
Mm-hmm. And but she's had her own career, and then we decided, kind of debated over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I was more hesitant of her coming on board than she was already.
Burn the boat.
That's right.
Tony Robbins. Let's go.
And so the timing was right. And so with her coming on, it's taken the business to a whole nother level. So,
which is brilliant, because that's an interview and a discussion in its own right, which is, as you talked about before, sort of power couples and how they work together.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, that'll be the sequel. Great. So we can.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a lot of the presentation too.
Yeah. And so what turns you off right now?
My thought was just the thing that turns me off is the people that have a selfish attitude that are really just in it for themselves, and that can be business, that can be personal. Mm-hmm. That's my biggest turn off.
And mine is people with low or no integrity.
Yeah. Okay. So what sound or noise do you love?
This is my favorite, Velcro.
Yeah,
it's the sound that's of his problem solving.
Mine is the ocean. Mine is nice. Ocean waves.
Well, that's brilliant. I mean, Velcro to me sounds like a come apart, basically.
Yeah, it solves lots of problems. I use it often.
It sounds like someone losing their shit before your very eyes, actually. But like ocean, you know, I'm not making any, but ocean is that's a fabulous one. So what sound or noise do you hate?
Chirping.
Chewing. Have you heard of misophonia?
Is that where you hear someone sort of like, you know, chewing gum or
noises,
crunching? And
yeah, it's noises that bother you. It's like, it's actually, there's nothing that can resolve it, like other types of phobias or phonias, or it's just noises really startle or bother me.
Do you know, the funny thing is that the people that are closest to you, when they make noises that you don't like, for some reason it's 1,000 times worse.
No, that never happens.
Oh, no.
Honestly, it's true. So if you know if you're sitting watching TV and your wife or husband is sitting there sort of crunching something,
on
some
cannot
hear. You know, we don't have to. Please, I don't want to go into this. I'm just only because I looked into that, or I was presented with that information by my wife. So, mm-hmm. So I now have to eat apples very quietly, or I liquidize them and drink them through a straw.
Yeah.
It has to do with the stress level of the person experiencing it. So yeah. Some days it'll bother me, some days it won't. So if I'm in a high stress state, it bothers me a lot.
Will you stop breathing?
Yes.
Fortunately, you never asked me that.
No. Can you choose someplace else?
So that's okay. So what is your favorite curse word, leading nicely onto that one there?
Shit. Piece of shit. Usually it's computer.
Yeah, it's all computers. Yeah. Yeah. I know. And, but fuck again is I think shit.
The ultimate.
Both. I have discovered the explicit button on the podcast upload, by the way. And what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Helicopter rescuer.
Yeah, very good.
The one that hangs down from the
helicopter. Not the driver, the guy that hangs.
The one that hangs. Yeah, it just seems amazing.
I'd do the driving one. I think it's probably, you know, just a little bit more in control there. But your questions, I'm just merely asking. Kristen? Would you like to be the... Oh, yes, you have to answer this too. Come on.
Voiceover. Voiceover or makeup artistry.
Yeah, very good. Okay. And what profession would you not like to attempt?
Anything to do with the sewer.
With the sewer?
Yeah, nothing to do with the sewer.
Yeah. Or exterminator. It's kind of related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cockroaches that kind of crunch as you... Yeah.
Just cockroaches and poop.
Yeah. So that links into your sort of... You know, soundophobia. I can't remember the word, but we'll go.
Misophonia.
Yeah, misophonia. That's it. Okay. There will be a link to misophonia on the episode. And the final question, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Hugo, what's yours?
Do you want the one or do you want the funny one?
Well, we can do both.
Okay.
Because just imagine the audiences.
Are you sure you're supposed to be here?
Well, as opposed to, you know, I think you need to go down a few levels in my case.
Or your mom's waiting for you.
Oh, fantastic.
I knew it.
Fantastic.
How about you?
I just said, you again?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, no, it's a reincarnation joke.
Yeah. That's brilliant. Listen, I can't begin to thank you for being such brilliant guests. And my last question is, how do people get hold of you? Because clearly there's going to be a line... a mile long, and rightly so, for people to contact you to find out how you can completely transform their presentations, their business, their ability to communicate. So how do they?
Yeah, glensdesigns.com is the best way. Glenn at Glenn's Designs. And yeah, I think that's
they can check out
way.
Some of our presentations on YouTube. It's youtube.com/Glenn Humanis.
Oh, you can also get it from the website too.
But there's a load of stuff. I've been on there. There's some fantastic, you've got some fantastic examples on the YouTube channel. So that's, you know, some really great examples of how you fold video in and there's some real wow factor stuff. But Glenn, Kristen, thank you. It's been fabulous having you on and really look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
All right, take care.